WBFO and AM 970 and Leadership Buffalo welcomes you to Buffalo City Forum, our occasional speaker series. Tonight's guest is Marianne Schmidt-Carey, president of Say Yes to Education. She'll talk about the program's promise of college education for Buffalo Public School students. Major support for Buffalo City Forum has been provided by Independent Health, additional support from M&T Bank, and Jackson Parker Communications. Now let's go to the podium and moderator Jim Ranney.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another Buffalo City Forum. In addition to our audience on 88.7 FM and AM 970, we have a full studio audience tonight anxious to hear from our guest, Marianne Schmidt-Carey. Ms. Schmidt-Carey is president of Say Yes to Education. It's a national nonprofit foundation committed to increasing high school and college graduation rates among inner-city youth. It's a major problem here in Buffalo, where the high school graduation rate has hovered around 47%. One way the foundation looks to improve graduation rates is through the promise of college education. It was last December when Say Yes to Education announced that Buffalo would be its second Say Yes city in America. Syracuse, by the way, was number one. The Buffalo School Board, local government leaders, the teachers' union, local colleges and universities, members of the business community, and private funders worked together to convince Say Yes to pick Buffalo as its next city. That collaboration worked. In announcing Buffalo's selection, our guest today said, "We selected Buffalo because of its willingness to bring the entire community together, to commit resources, and to rally around a single vision of change for all of its young people." Hundreds of students and community leaders cheered the Say Yes commitment to bring an initial $15 million and to partner with local providers to support Buffalo schools through after-school and summer programs, counseling, and health care. As part of the project, Western New York business and foundation leaders invited the community to join them in a promise to fund scholarships for students in Buffalo public schools and to cover up to 100% of their tuition at a post-secondary institution for the next 20 years. The class of 2013 will be the first class eligible for those scholarships. So how does the program work? What impact has it had in Syracuse, where it's been up and running for about 4 years? Can such a public-private partnership to turn around a city in time? Our speaker here is here tonight to answer those questions and many others. Prior to joining Say Yes, Marianne Schmidt-Carey was CEO of New American Schools and the American Institutes for Research. Before that, she worked for the U.S. Department of Education as director of the Goals 2000 Community Project. She is a graduate of SUNY Albany and earned her MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Please welcome to Buffalo and to Buffalo City Forum, Marianne Schmidt-Carey.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you so much to all of you in the audience. I see a lot of friends and partners here. And I want to say that this journey started really about 2 years ago. And I don't think I'll ever forget the first time that I met Clotilde Dedecker and her colleague from the Oshai Foundation, the Community Foundation, the Oshai Foundation, found me in Indianapolis, Indiana, cornered me, and were incredibly persuasive about the need to consider Buffalo, New York, as the second Say Yes city. I was incredibly impressed by their vision, the consistency of their commitment to really driving dramatic change. And to after I listened to them, I said, I have to come to Buffalo, because when I heard about how the community was really coming together, that there really seemed to be a shared sense of urgency and a commitment to really work together in a very different way. The business as usual probably was not going to get the job done. It almost sounded too good to be true. And I did have the opportunity to come here shortly thereafter and began to meet so many in government, in the county government, city government, in the school district, the teachers' union, the school board, the private sector, corporate leaders, faith-based leaders, more philanthropic leaders, and just an incredible groundswell around the commitment to set a very different goal and objective for all students. And that's something that Say Yes to Education has been about for the last 25 years. Many of you prior to us coming here probably had never heard about Say Yes to Education. And one of the things that I so admired about the organization when I learned about it about 6.5 years ago was that there was a leadership team led by George Weiss, who is an incredible business leader and philanthropist and human being who grew up in poverty in this country, and people believing in him, quality public education available in the community that he lived in, and folks actually providing a full scholarship to the University of Pennsylvania dramatically changed the trajectory of his life. And it was with that that he committed to whenever, and he's also a religious man, he said, "If you know, God, if you give me the wherewithal to be able to help others, I promise you that I will help to build many, 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 an army of young people that are able to walk in these same footsteps that I have." And he started that 25 years ago and has to date supported initially only about 1,000 students, but we're now working with 60,000 students and really creating hope and providing the supports that lead to dramatically different outcomes for all students. So I want you to appreciate that this is not a fly-by-night type of operation. It's something that has been tested and refined and tested again and implemented in cities similar to Buffalo and Philadelphia, in Harlem, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, also in Hartford, Connecticut. And the time and effort was really there to make sure we understand, you know, how can you not only inspire young people to believe in themselves and to set the goal, actually completing a post-secondary degree, not incremental test score increases, but something that's life-changing, something that's really a ticket to opportunity and to being able to pursue whatever a young person wants to pursue. And over the course of this time, we've learned quite a bit, and we did have the opportunity a little over 5 years ago to begin a conversation around how you take this from just working with individual students to a strategy that can actually help to turn around an entire city. And I will say that I don't want Buffalo, New York to have too much of an insecurity or a complex in not being selected as the first city. At the moment in time that we were looking, there were changes going on in leadership in multiple positions within the city. And it was really because of that that we felt that there wasn't stability of leadership in order to be able to galvanize the community to march forward. So it wasn't with a deep assessment that we dismissed Buffalo. And I have to say we've been thrilled from the moment that we made the decision in partnership with many of you in the room that Buffalo would be the second city. I have to say, personally, having done this work across the country for 20 years, I really have never seen a city that has risen to the occasion in the way that I'm seeing here in Buffalo. I see a level of commitment and energy and a collaborative spirit that's really breaking down walls between the different siloed forms of government, between the public and the private sector, between labor and management, and between community-based grassroots movements coming together with more traditional power centers within the community. And I am confident that we are at the beginning point of what will be really dramatic change within the city, and it'll start to be, the progress will be the changes in who stays in school, who graduates from high school, who goes on to college, who graduates from college, who has opportunities to work for the great businesses that are here, still here in Western New York and in Buffalo, and businesses that I am confident will make a decision to move to this city because of what's happening right now under the beginnings of this umbrella of Say Yes, Buffalo. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to explain to you the big idea of what Say Yes to Education is, what the core elements are. I'll explain the work that we've been implementing in Syracuse, New York, because that really provides the roadmap, and we've learned an awful lot, and we're adapting the program here in Buffalo appropriately. This is not a cookie-cutter approach. We've learned a lot, and the main thing that we started out 25 years ago believing is that young people have phenomenally more potential, particularly that are living in our urban centers, than we are to date realizing that potential. And there are a set of barriers that stand in their way, and they're predictable. Financial barriers, this perception that college is not affordable or that that child feels like they are not college material. There are a set of academic barriers, and that often happens when children have not had access to quality preschool programming. They enter school in kindergarten. They're not able to do some things that other children are able to do. People assume that that they're less capable, expectations are lowered, and they end up tracking to something less than what they're truly capable of. There are a set of social barriers, one barrier just being that there isn't a peer-based culture talking about college, or they may be the first in their family to ever have this opportunity, so they don't have people that are talking to them about it, that have the social capital to know how to navigate what can be pretty complex systems to accomplish that goal and objective. And they may also be facing some difficult circumstances, cases of neglect and abuse, homelessness, other disruptive things that when supports are not provided can completely derail a young person that does have phenomenal potential to contribute to society. And also a set of health barriers. The most predictable things are undiagnosed diabetes, asthma, nutritional deficiencies, vision problems that aren't tested, identified, dealt with, and that then contributes to high levels of absenteeism and low levels of achievement in schools. So what Say Yes to Education has always understood is if you can proactively create real, deep relationships and partnerships and create that belief system in that young person and then be able to provide the kinds of supports that minimize, you can't always completely remove, but minimize those predictable barriers, you start to see outcomes that are high school and college completion and productive citizenship that are really quite phenomenal. And over the beginning, the first 25 years of our history, we tested, well, what would happen, and you have to keep in mind that Say Yes to Education is led by a group of corporate leaders, so the idea of return on investment is something that was important to them. So if you started later in a child's life, it would cost less money. Let's see what happens if you start in seventh grade versus fifth grade versus third grade versus kindergarten. So there was really that depth of testing and refinement and looking at outcomes. And I think everybody in this room, and particularly all parents, know the earlier you begin that conversation and set that expectation of college completion, and the more supports you can provide in all those arenas that I've been talking about, you're going to get to optimal outcomes. And over 20 years, we actually saw those results. You could double high school and college completion rates from a low in Philadelphia of only 25% of kids graduating from high school. You could increase that to 64% if you started in seventh grade. But guess what? If you started in fifth grade, the high school completion rates went up to between 75 and 86%, and the college completion rates went up substantially as well. When you took to third grade, the Cambridge chapter, you saw just shy of 90% of the kids graduate from high school, and 72% complete a post-secondary degree. And quite frankly, that was enough evidence for Say Yes to Education to say the earlier you start, the better the result. And we have our kindergarten start is the cohort that's in Philadelphia right now. They're seniors in high school, and they're from a part of the city where high school graduation rates are even lower than they are here in Buffalo. We have had not one student drop out. They are all on track to graduate. They all just came back from Africa, where they went on an incredible trip where they contributed to a community there, a community development effort, service effort. They plan to go back next year. They're all going to apply to college, and we're going to make sure that they succeed. So it's with that that we, with humility, because taking the kind of work we've done with 300 students in one city and 100 students in another city, to a public-private partnership where you're working with 21,000 students in Syracuse and over 30,000 students here in Buffalo, that's a big leap. So we are very humble in how we approach this, but fundamentally, we believe deep in our core that if we can create hope by making the promise of full tuition scholarships early in a child's life, and we can provide the supports to address those academic, those social, and those health potential barriers, and provide enrichment opportunities that really allow students to thrive, that we can see those kinds of success rates across the entire city of Syracuse, across the entire city of Buffalo. And that is what we're proceeding with. So for those of you that are in the audience, the big rocks in this is the provision of a full scholarship, and I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. We couldn't do that without the leadership of the Community Foundation, OSHI, and so many others that are in the room, the angel investors that have already solidified over $17 million in supports for scholarships. So this is real. And the students and families in the city of Buffalo can really count on that being an opportunity that's available to all. In addition to the scholarship, the comprehensive supports really starts with what we have had underway over the last 9 months, really looking at, there are a lot of good things happening in Buffalo, and I see many of our community-based organizational partners are in the room tonight. What has happened historically is you have very good work happening at relatively small pilot levels of scale and never taken to a systemic opportunity for every school, every student. So part of what we do is to really do a community asset map, understand the strengths of what's here and what's happening, and help to strategically connect those dots so we're not just serving a small number of students on a short-term grant, soft grant, but we're really working to fund the programs that work for all students through the core operating budgets of all of our partners. In addition, we do have to fundamentally overhaul the core instructional program. What happens during the traditional school day needs to be rigorous and relevant for students and needs to actually map and align to high standards, what is the Common Core standards here in New York, and to an expectation of college readiness. So that does take quite a bit of work. What we've seen in Syracuse over the last 4 years is when you bring those three strategies together, you start to see real increases in high school completion, in post-secondary matriculation, and soon we'll have our first graduates to be able to say post-secondary graduation as well, that begins to really drive economic revitalization within an entire city. I want to take this down to the next level of detail and just explain, what does this look like actually within a public school building? What are the supports that enable students to really fulfill their potential? And it's not a million things. It's a set of strategic, evidence-based programs that map to really building those academic assets, those social assets, and the health and well-being of every child to enable them to aspire to and succeed at much higher levels. We start with the scholarship because that's the North Star. That really sets a very different benchmark of success and creates that conversation about that as an objective and really rallies people across the entire community to work together to be able to provide that consistently over time. We look at putting in place the capacity within the individual school buildings and within the whole city to really be able to track a defined set of metrics in the academic, in the social, and the health arenas, 13 of them, not 1,000 things. There are 13 key levers that if you track at the individual student level, the school, and the system level, that actually will map to dramatically increasing high school and college completion rates. We are working right now with the school system around the adaptation of a student monitoring and intervention system that we've developed over the last 7 years. And that'll be implemented this year here in the city. In addition, we're focused on how do you get the academic support? So how do we support the restructuring of the school day? How do we add time, more time for learning, more time to engage in rigorous and exciting learning challenges? So extending the school day by 2 hours, a really important additional element is extending the school year. I'm sure most of our listeners and those in the room understand that when students have long summer breaks without an opportunity to engage in any kind of rigorous educational opportunity or an enrichment, music and dance and so forth, that summer learning loss is really crippling for so many of our students. So we believe in and we help the system to actually deliver on an annual basis an extension of the year that really provides those opportunities for every student. We're also looking at providing a set of support services in the form of one-on-one tutoring, helping to develop a network of mentors that can work directly with students and really provide that kind of support over an extended period of time. Working closely with the county and with community-based organizations and health centers, we also look to be able to provide an in-depth set of social, health, dental services that really do make a tremendous difference in children's lives, and also for families that are going through difficult times, to enable them to have access to family counseling supports, free pro bono legal support services, and the opportunity to become enrolled in health insurance, a key barrier to young people and families accessing those kind of well care visits and addressing any problems that may stand in their way. As we start to look at how do you provide that kind of system of comprehensive support wrapped around a rigorous academic school day program with high expectations and data systems that are actually helping everybody that's involved in the process to see whether or not kids are on track or off track, we have brought to the city, and part of the process when we initially came to Buffalo and we engaged in a due diligence effort, one of the things that we were testing for was real commitment to what we refer to as a set of core principles or non-negotiables. And central to that was a commitment to bringing together the different silos of government with the private sector and with neighborhood community leadership and really committing to innovate in the way that we think about municipal governance, to really develop a shared set of outcomes and objectives that really crossed all of those and really focused on the individual student and their ultimate success. The leadership in county government, city government, in the school district, the union leadership, and Phil Remore is here tonight. I appreciate him taking the time to join us. And the private sector, philanthropic, corporate, faith-based leaders had to commit to become part of a collaborative governance structure. And I think as everybody that's listening can appreciate, each one of those stakeholders, they have their own hierarchy. They have their own decision-making process. They have their own power centers and structures. And really what we're asking the community to do and the leadership across the community is to give up some of that positional power and agree to become part of a collective that together could accomplish so much more than just pursuing their individual missions, social service or health provision on the part of the county, crime prevention and neighborhood revitalization on the part of a city government, looking at the delivery of academic programs on the part of a school system. Really, you can't get the job done and you can't drive dramatically different outcomes if you keep working in those silos. So we started by saying, let's come together around a unified vision for the community and to commit to come together on a regular basis. So we do have systems in place for the county executive to come together with the mayor, to come together with the president of the school board, and other critical leaders on a quarterly basis with a commitment to look at data and have a community conversation about how we are progressing, and to be very honest and transparent about that. And we have structures to also develop programs, implement programs, evaluate program implementation, and ultimately outcomes, and that's meeting on an even more regular basis than the top leaders across the community. This beginning of this process that I alluded to was really looking at the asset mapping, looking at the availability of quality after-school programs and summer camps, looking at the availability of mental health support services, social services, seeing what's there, and really focused on don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. develop community partnerships, to be able to, over time, deliver together, county government, city government, the school district, all together with community-based leaders on that vision of a school that provides to every student academic supports, social supports, health supports, mental health supports, legal supports that map and correlate from research and experience-based 25 years of Say Yes working in the field with dramatically increased outcomes, high school and college completion rates. We also focus as an entire community around how do you sustain this for the long haul? And one of the biggest mistakes that communities make is to implement effective programs only when you have a short-term grant. So there is a very elaborate process that we're in the middle of right now. We've done an in-depth analysis of the school district's budget, the county budget, and we're finishing up the city budget, really to look at how are resources strategically allocated right now, and to really look at the overlap in how many city, county, school district services, if you thought about delivering them together, you could do it more efficiently, serve more kids, and do it through the core operating budgets. So that fiscal sustainability starts right at the beginning by being honest about how the assets are currently being used, working together to commit to a multiple-year plan that actually results in all of the programming that I'm talking to you about this evening that will get the outcomes that the city wants being sustained and being available across every public school building into the future. And when you see this, you see the level of parent and community engagement go up. Over time, you see college enrollment go up, and you'll see these improve not only educational outcomes, but economic development outcomes for the city of Buffalo. I've mentioned the partners, and I really just want to make sure that everybody appreciates what's up on the screen right now is a slide that says collaborative governance partners. I mentioned the government partners. But another critical piece of this is it's not just the K-12 educators working with county and city. It's also higher education. And Jack Quinn is with us tonight, the president of ECC, an incredible partner that we're already developing programs in collaboration with Jack and his team to really look at when we have more students that are matriculating to his college next year, which will happen. That's something real that happened in Syracuse. How do we actually create the support programs that will increase the level of success of students that start? So it's not just starting, it's actually finishing. And I really want to commend him for his commitment to this from day one, first conversation, and so many other of the public schools and the private schools that are in this region. And in addition to all of higher education, K-12 education, all the different parts of the government sector. We have parents, we have students, and it's really going to be this kind of rich collaboration, commitment, and creating these new systems to communicate and to actually plan, to act, to refine, and to really focus on data and making sure that people keep their eyes on the prize and work together to refine this to achieve its full potential. And that's well underway. As Jim mentioned, we started this work in Syracuse, New York, a little over 4 years ago. And it has been a really pretty wild ride during the first 4 years. I sort of alluded to the fact that this was a leap to go from cohorts of students and cities, a single grade level, to working with an entire city. And another big difference is the early work of Say Yes was funded all privately. So it wasn't really about trying to fundamentally change how government looks at allocating dollars and collaborating and changing the way it does business. But I am very pleased to report in 4 years we have been able to implement, and we also didn't expect the economic downturn. Just so you can appreciate a little bit, when we started in Syracuse, it was 2007. The world was a little bit different in 2007, and there was state commitment to increase the per pupil allocation to cities like Syracuse and Buffalo by $3,500. And our work had, and really looking at it in a fine-grained way, that's what we had determined that it costs about. You need about $3,500 in academic, social, and health supports to be able to get to this dramatically different future. And in 2008, the world really started to change. And new money went away. You had a group of community partners like yourselves here in the room and listening, government and private sector, K-12 and higher education, that had to come back to the table and say, this isn't going to be a strategy about new money spent in what makes a lot of sense, a logical way. Are we really committed to this? Are we going to sustain this by making difficult decisions about how we're going to spend dollars that we have today that were allocated to pay for something that exists today to actually reallocate it to keep this program on track? And the community stepped up and did that. And that's when real innovation started to be generated around ways that city government, parks and rec staff, actually became part of the delivery of summer camps. It was a phenomenal innovation, a fixed cost for the city, and it allowed also for the creation of new ways of utilizing parks in the summer, which increased the utility of something that is paid for already in the city of Syracuse. Phenomenal innovation in the way county government collaborates with the school system. They found ways to provide funding and support to increase the number of social workers and counselors, to put mental health clinics into every building. They found a way to actually utilize prevention dollars to implement after-school programs at scale. And they're seeing the benefits of it, which some of the early results, we have seen an incredible reduction in dropout and incarceration and students leaving the system. That reduction is 44%. In addition to that, we have seen an increase in some of the Gateway College courses and some of those metrics, such as ninth grade proficiency rates in algebra, up over 30%. We've seen an increase in the high school graduation rate, steady increase each year, incremental, 7% increase since we started, an over 20% increase in the college matriculation rate, the number of students that apply to and go to college. We didn't expect that to go up so quickly, so early in the program, and that really gave us a sense that creating that kind of hope and that vision can immediately begin to lead to students making decisions that ultimately will really benefit the community at large. In addition, by being able to deliver more of these health and social services and extended day programs and year programs, we've seen crime go down by over 7% in the city. And the chief of police has stood up on numerous occasions and said, I don't think this ever would have happened if it wasn't for Say Yes to Education. And he's very much a community police guy. He's out there. He's in the community. He's talking to the kids, and he's asking them. And he's getting feedback that somebody believes in me, and I didn't think that that was an avenue or an opportunity, but I'm going to go for it, and I am going to make better decisions. We still have a long way to go. Everything's not perfect or nirvana in Syracuse, but everything's moving in the right direction. And the county has been amazed. They said the placement, there have only been 3 students out of Syracuse City School District since we started this work, and the wraparound supports inside the school buildings, only 3 students have been placed in foster care. And they're shocked by that. The reports of neglect and abuse are down to historic low levels. And we all believe it's because prevention is really alive and well, and that the school buildings have the resources to address this much broader set of challenges that, quite frankly, is just the reality for many, many students in Syracuse, New York, in Buffalo, New York. So, and other things that we're seeing from an economic development perspective is after 10 years of steady erosion of enrollment in the public school system in Syracuse, we actually are seeing an increase in enrollment. And while it's not public yet, I do know that enrollment in kindergarten here in Buffalo is up historic levels. People are really excited about that, and I probably wasn't supposed to divulge it, but it's good to make a little bit of news tonight, and I just couldn't help myself. And home values are also up in Syracuse. And not surprisingly, when you buy a house, you have an opportunity to receive a full tuition scholarship benefit, and it's also becoming more attractive to live downtown. So just some of the positive things that are happening. And I think if the leaders from Syracuse came here, they'd also speak to just a different atmosphere, a different quality of conversation that's beginning to take place in collaboration, and really more of a commitment to collective action. And they're beginning to develop pride in being able to be part of something that's much bigger than any individual's responsibility or organization's responsibility or silo of government. So I'm going to skip over. We do focus on, so how do you get this? It's you don't get partnership and collaboration and people doing business differently just by suggesting it would be a good idea. One thing that is central to Say Yes in the work that we do is that you really do create structures and strategies to facilitate that kind of collective planning and implementation and looking at continually improving how we do this work together. So there's the Community Leadership Council, there's an operating group, there are a whole set of task forces that get set up across the community to be able to develop the capacity as a community to provide universal access to legal supports, to health supports, to academic supports, et cetera. And during the question and answer time, I'm sure some elements will come up that you guys want to know a little bit more about. I'm conscious of the time, and I really do want to allow for some Q&A. So I will just let you know that since we started last December, we have been able to implement a really comprehensive set of audits around everything from curriculum and instruction to the availability of social and health programs to special ed programs, IT, human capital, development strategies within the city. I mentioned the fiscal audits. That level of commitment to transparency and to really considering how everything is being done is something that, as a community, Buffalo should be incredibly proud, because your leaders are really stepping up and doing the right thing. We are in the process of rolling out that student monitoring, that student success system, and providing professional development across the city. We have a team. We have our executive director, David Rust, is here tonight, and Jill Robbins, and my chief operating officer, Jean Chasen, actually basically lives here in Buffalo. So there's a team that's really working across the city to be able to put in place the programming that I've been talking about tonight. And we're also in the process of hiring. This is also a jobs generation program, site directors that eventually will populate every public school building and really serve as a partner to principals in being able to ensure that not only the academic programs get in place, but these wraparound supports get in place that together can lead to dramatically better outcomes. We've also been incredibly impressed by the openness of all the community-based partners and organizational leaders. We are very proud to partner with United Way in rolling out this program, and they're helping us with the hiring and the management of the site facilitators across the different buildings. And the community-based organizations have really opened up their doors to be independently and objectively reviewed, to look at the quality of program, look at their capacity to go to scale. And I think the quality of the CBOs and their commitment to this collective impact effort is definitely to be commended. The scholarship piece, every student in Buffalo will have the opportunity, tuition-free, to go to any SUNY school and any CUNY school. In addition to that, there are a set of private colleges that have stepped up, and many of them here in the Western New York region, including Madai and Houghton, and there are 21 higher ed institutions that already were organized into a compact in Western New York, and they've all signed on to be partners in making this happen. And in addition, we also have great colleges in different parts of the country, like the University of Pennsylvania. Not surprising, given our founder is also a trustee at the University of Pennsylvania, and many more. There's a slide that's up that has all of the colleges. Anybody that's listening can also go on to the Say Yes Buffalo website. And that's going to be changing on a regular basis. We, on a rolling basis, are meeting with colleges across New York, across the country, and people are signing up. They really believe in this access and opportunity program and are also buying into how they provide the incentive for an entire community to commit to work together to provide the support so that students are actually able to apply and have the skills and competencies to be accepted at their higher ed institutions. So with that, let me stop, and we'll welcome any questions.
A reminder to our radio audience, you're listening to Buffalo City Forum. Our guest is Mary Ann Schmidt-Carey, president of Say Yes to Education. We'll take questions from our audience here in the studio. If you have a question, there are cards on the table. Write your question down, hold the card up, and we'll have some folks walking around collecting those cards. I'll ask as many as time permits. I do want to, again, thank our program sponsors, Independent Health and M&T Bank and Jackson Parker Communications. Mary Ann, let me first say that you don't have to apologize for picking Buffalo as your second city. After four Super Bowls, we're used to being second. But having said that, let me ask you about the selection of Buffalo and Syracuse. You know, two cities, very similar, just a few hundred miles apart. When you look at all the cities in the country that are perhaps in need of the services of Say Yes to Education, why Buffalo, why Syracuse?
When we were looking to make this big transition to work with an entire city and a region, it was at that moment in time that the state of New York was actually resolving a long-term fiscal equity case called the Campaign for Fiscal Equity. So there was a lot of conversation about, on the part of the state leadership, legislative, in the governor's office, et cetera, about understanding that if we want to see dramatically different outcomes for our cities, that we needed to recognize that it couldn't just be an academic initiative, that you really did have to address the broader comprehensive needs of students that maps to the barriers I was talking about. So there was a supportive policy environment, and as I talked about, we even thought a supportive fiscal environment and life changes. And the good news is that the state of New York has invested in their commitment to providing considerably more funding than a lot of states across the country, so that we were able to be able to keep this on track. So I think it was that supportive environment tied to CFE that led us to say, let's create a competition and let's reach out to New York cities. We're also based downstate in New York City. So New York and the rising of New York cities was near and dear to our hearts.
You mentioned those support services. You had a slide up here that had 13 support services that you offer, because this is much more than just a promise of a college scholarship. How many of those services are in place today, up and running right now?
So if you're asking me that question about Syracuse, we have the entire program rolled out. That's taken 4 years. We are just on the front end here in Buffalo. So what we are getting very close to completing, and we'll start to participate in public conversations about, is the results of the different reviews and audits that have been conducted, which will then come together in the form of a strategic plan for the community. And we work with all the critical stakeholders in the school system, as well as the county, the city, and the private sector to support the development of that. And what you'll see in place this year in Buffalo is that universal use of this student monitoring process and professional development around that, which is critically important. It's really getting everybody to focus on what is really going to make a difference, what's going to drive different outcomes for students, and building that capacity to be data-driven. We will also, in 25% of the schools, be rolling out additional supports, those site facilitators, and looking at providing more of the social and health services in that first group of schools. Additionally, we're working very closely with a group of community-based organizations around an incubator project around really looking at high-quality after-school programs, and that's happening in a number of the schools with our CBO partners, and we will be working together as a community to really develop the vision and the plan and model for what will then roll out over the next several years across every school building.
A lot of questions from our audience here about the process for the application for scholarships. How does this work? Is it automatic? You went to Buffalo School, so therefore you're eligible, or are there other eligibility requirements that a student would have to make?
So let me just give the ABCs on the scholarship program. The scholarship is available to any student that graduates from a Buffalo public school And there is a tiering element. If a student participates from kindergarten all the way through high school and graduates, 100% of tuition at a SUNY or at a community or a city university will be provided. I need to be clear, it's a last dollar scholarship. So we're not trying to use private dollars to substitute for government's commitment to also provide financial aid. But we do help families because it's a very difficult system to navigate. So tiering, full tuition, regardless of income, it's not a need-based scholarship program to any student that participates and graduates out of the Buffalo Public Schools.
Folks have asked also in these questions, and I'm combining two or three together so that we can get to as many questions as possible, but a lot of questions about vocations, jobs that may not require a college education, but may require some additional training in some form. Where does Say Yes to Education, fit in with that?
There are many routes, many paths to success in life and careers. We support and believe in high-quality vocational education that is actually linked to real industries and real job opportunities that exist within a community. So part of what we'll be also helping to support the development of here in the community is a compact of corporations that help to develop the collective capacity to offer internships and apprenticeships at scale across the city and really enable students to have those on-the-job learning experiences. So we support vocational, but we just don't lead with it. I mean, what you tend to find and what's been a historic problem in this country is tracking kids starting at a very young age. So when I talk publicly, I will talk about the potential of every child to go to and be successful in a four-year collegiate program. And we want every child that ultimately does the work and wants that opportunity to pursue that. But we also recognize that there are great careers that are tied to two-year associates and also very substantive vocational certification programs. So Say Yes, Buffalo will support students making that choice. And what we want to ensure is through the work that happens starting early in a child's life all the way up through high school is that ultimately it's that child's choice and not that the system failed to give that child real choice.
But I assume there's some counseling along the way here too, so that maybe students can be directed to a program where they're going to succeed or a program where there's a need within the community perhaps.
Absolutely. So that kind of programming will start as early as middle school across the city, really enabling students to explore different career opportunities. And corporations, and there are many other individuals and organizations, government entities that are potential future job locations for students, will be bringing those partners into school buildings to engage in conversations with students. And there will be structured over time a set of pathways to college and career. And we'll begin that conversation with students early. And then we get very practical also. It's important that the whole counseling process is actually mapped and aligned to students doing career exploration and then understanding what kind of educational certification is required and what kind of courses you need to take to actually ultimately be eligible to participate in those different educational opportunities. So really mapping and aligning and creating a pipeline from early in a child's life until they're successfully landed in communities with good jobs and productively contributing is really what Say Yes Buffalo is all about, is creating that entire continuum.
You know, there's so many people at the table that you mentioned. You have administrators, the superintendent, the school board, the teachers' union, business and foundations. Who's in charge here?
That is the question that is always asked, and I'm looking at Clotilde as she smiles and laughs, because I think the hardest thing for people to get comfortable with, and even in the early meetings, people keep looking at you saying, well, who's in charge? And the answer is, it is the collective of the leaders and the stakeholders that participate in the Community Leadership Council, in operating group, in the task forces. What we provide, I guess, is some of the infrastructure for facilitation, for ongoing focus on data and outcomes. And our team, led by David Rust, helps to provide that support. And then the network of site-based facilitators that really focus on the integration of the academic with the social and health in the building. So there is a staffing infrastructure to support collective impact and a process to facilitate this on an ongoing basis.
You've been in Syracuse for about 4 years now. You've had some success, success that some folks would say has been great and wonderful, but I'm sure there are some folks in Syracuse that say, you know, we expected a little more, a little quicker. How long before we can expect to see some results in Buffalo, do you think?
What you tend to see is economic development indicators will move faster. So the provision of the scholarship, we should see a change, and I predict there'll be a major announcement at some point around enrollment going up in Buffalo Public Schools. And what you will begin to see in year two and three is the beginning movements around college matriculation rates going up. You'll start to see high school completion rates trending up. You really have to commit to year three and four to start seeing at the scaled level outcomes tied to reading and math. It takes time to roll out all the programs for those programs to have an impact. So that's a piece that Buffalo is lucky. The leadership transition that has taken place with the new superintendent and the ability to actually implement the reviews around curriculum and instruction to be able to identify early on a disconnect between the curriculum and the standards, the high standards that map to being able to be successful at the post-secondary level. That's all happening much earlier here in Buffalo than it did in Syracuse. We were able to get the wraparound supports implemented in the first couple of years, and then we supported a transition in the leadership that led in year three and then four to being able to roll out a different school day program. And you need both of those to come together. So we predict that outcomes will come faster here because of the alignment of some of these critical things that have come into play right in the first 6-9 months of our collaboration.
You're listening to Buffalo City Forum on WBFO and AM 970. Our guest is Mary Ann Schmidt-Carey from Say Yes to Education, the program coming to Buffalo this year. Question from our audience. What kind of specialized support is being directed toward refugee families and students?
This is something that we've had a lot of experience with in Syracuse, New York. Both Syracuse and Buffalo have refugee resettlement commitments. And so we have worked very closely with Interfaith Works and other critical local partners in Syracuse around the development of supports and programs and being able to, with them, have the capacity to be able to speak in their home languages so that we can communicate what the opportunity is. And then we've also been working closely with leadership in the district and in the individual schools to address some key issues in Syracuse. There have been challenges at the student-to-student level around bullying and our harassment that's taken place. We've supported the development and implementation of a new program in Syracuse in collaboration with Seeds of Peace, which is helping to bring the refugee population and the traditional population of students in Syracuse together in a summer camp experience where this builds off of the work about bringing kids together from Israel and the Middle East and creating relationships and the capacity to work together and do conflict resolution. We've been implementing those types of supports and skills, and we're really developing a network of leaders out of the refugee population that are helping to chart a different course. Of course, we're also looking at the specific needs of the students around additional academic instruction and the provision of tutors or mentors and all of the supports I talked about. We recognize that the refugee population has a unique set of needs, and we work together with the community to be able to meet those.
Are charter schools involved, students at charter schools? Are they involved in Project Yes or Say Yes?
The charter schools, every student, if it is in the city of Buffalo, so we're definitely geographically bound to the Buffalo proper. So if it's in the city and a student completes, they have full access to the tuition benefit at all the public schools and all of the private schools that I mentioned, and that's how they're participating in this process. We're not doing the kind of within-school transformation that we'll be doing the other 58 public schools.
And in terms of the colleges involved, I know you put up a list of private colleges in the area that are involved. What about the SUNY schools? Are they all part of this?
They are all of the SUNY schools, all of the community colleges, and also City University of New York. So collectively, students here in Buffalo right now have a choice of about 100 different higher ed institutions that they'll be able to potentially go to and receive that full tuition support.
We are nearly out of time already. The time has flown by, as always. But before I ask the final question, I do want to present you with a small token of our appreciation for you being here and for making Buffalo the second city as a Say Yes city.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Let me ask the final question, and it comes from our audience because several people wrote down here. I sense the excitement in the room about this. What can residents do? What can parents do to make this program successful?
The need in Buffalo is truly for everybody to step up and contribute what they can contribute. I mean, parents obviously have the most important job of making sure that students really believe that this is their future, this is their path. Supporting students and being able to attend regularly and to provide places in their homes for students to really focus on their academics and to pursue this much higher level of learning over time. Parents have come from so many different backgrounds. I mean, we have health experts and we have social workers that are parents and we have lawyers that are parents. And so as we start to roll this out, we'll be really looking to organize volunteers, and we hope parents will step up and community leaders and employees of companies that are based here in Buffalo. And it's really going to be about everybody standing together and to be able to provide the support to every student that really deserves it. So we will be communicating on a very regular basis. We'll be establishing the task forces and really looking for people to participate actively in those pieces. And there is no contribution too small also to supporting the scholarship. I mean, we're in the process of working with all of the community and the government stakeholders around creating the plan to be able to provide all of the supports that we talked about, after school and tutors and all the rest of that. The community really has to rally around creating the capital base to be able to fund the scholarships in perpetuity. We're off to a phenomenal start, but we hope parents and business leaders and every segment of Buffalo will step up and contribute to that scholarship.
And remind us again of your website for more information.
So it's Say Yes Buffalo. Well, Google Say Yes Buffalo. And David, just help me out exactly on the local website.
SayYesBuffalo.org.
SayYesBuffalo.org. And we'll regularly put up updates there and really look forward to, as you become part of this in the community and you see things that are working, please let us know. And also when you see things that are not working, let us know, because core to all of this is a recognition that we can always do better tomorrow what we started today. And if people work together in the spirit of collective action and a commitment to really make a difference, I think the city of Buffalo will not only be the most improved, but I think it will be a true success story for not only the state, but for the country, about what you can achieve when you work together.
Mary Ann Schmidt-Carey is president of Say Yes to Education, our guest on Buffalo City Forum. Thank you to our audience here. Thank you to our audience on the radio. Thank you to our sponsors, Independent Health and M&T Bank. I'm Jim Ranney. Thanks for listening, and have a great night.